Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlanchis right here on 720 WGN.
Did that really just happen, Ro? Can you say it on
no.
the air? No. Okay.
Did not just happen.
We'll keep that private then.
Come on.
I'll try not to mention that again. Just there was just one of those weird pinch me moments that happened, and so I just, but maybe it's too private. Sorry for bringing it up.
Sorry
to go off the teleprompter.
Haven't you learned anything
so
from
true.
My awesomeness already? Are you proud of me?
Did I tell you already how proud I am of you?
Are you people proud of me?
On this day and every day.
Donald Trump said that actually to his audience, his need for love in Pueblo, Colorado, which in otherwise is a very, again, when he was on the prompter reading the words that Kellyanne Conway or somebody else had written for him, mm-hmm. he is a very formidable candidate.
Are you proud of me?
But then he does that.
What was that?
Because he was going to say, I did not go bankrupt in the 90s.
Are you proud of me?
Is that what it was in relation
yeah.
to?
Yeah.
Okay.
How creepy.
I think it's creepier when he's on the teleprompter and he mispronounces words because...
Like my cumin.
See, you call him a good candidate, but I'm like, no, he can't. He's just reading.
It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, just because he sounds better.
Listen, the true faith believers in him, plus the true faith haters of Hillary, are a formidable number in this country. The people he has to appeal to now is going to be that 5% in the middle. There's only 5% left that are in the middle that are going to vote, who are people who are truly conflicted here. There are people who have always been with Hillary, and then there's people who are the never Trump, and then there's people who are like, I just, continuation of business purposes, we're going to go with the lesser of the two evils. And I think I'm going to guess that's about a 10% thing. Now, there's 5% who are still out there, and they will make the determination at the end of this. And this is, I'm not talking about the nation. I'm talking about just people who are going to end up voting on November 8th, which is a much smaller number than those available to do so in the nation.
Mm-hmm. And they're in key states as well, we should say, that really will determine the election.
And when he sounds halfway sane, he wins them because they're looking for any opportunity. If they haven't made a decision by now, that everybody knows what Hillary Clinton is politically. People don't know what he's going to be like politically. So there are people willing to roll the dice at the very end here, and every time he gets on the prompter and he sounds legitimate, like the first half hour of the debate last week, those people go, yeah, well, maybe I could see that. It's just creating the visualization in their mind. And then when he starts tweeting about the Miss Universe.
Or mentioning Rosie O'Donnell out of nowhere and things like that, you're just like, wait a minute. Why'd you bring that up?
Right. Then they're like, oh, yeah. No,
but see, that's
that guy's
my point.
Dangerous.
I don't know how they're not just not mutually exclusive. I mean, it's, of course, it's the same person.
Well, those people would be making that decision by now.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't.
I think the voters are.
That's why they float.
Smarter. I just think it's funny when you call
really?
Them a. When you,
you really think that?
I do. I have faith in America.
Yeah.
I
do
I
too.
I could probably run for president.
Yeah.
I could probably make. All right.
Yeah. When's the last time you were getting your driver's license at the Secretary of State's office? It's changed. Because now that you can mail in for it, it's changed.
Oh, yeah, I mail
when you're
in.
Actually there, when you're
there.
In line, it's changed. Yeah. Yeah. America's a tougher place now. And not for all the reasons that he articulates, but it just is.
I went to the DMV.
That's what it is. We don't call it the DMV anymore.
Yeah, how was yours? She went there today. It was
yeah.
a good experience,
oh.
right?
Yeah. Let me tell you, check your... license plate stickers. Those, some of them expired on Friday.
Those are expensive tickets.
I got two tickets.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Because it was the weekend, so obviously I'm going to contest. This is ridiculous.
Oh, I loved him, by the way. All right, Congressman Adam Kinzinger is with us. A lot to discuss with him. This is not why we call him Congressman. But
sorry you had to listen to
yeah,
that, Congressman.
Sorry. My
that was wonderful. So entertaining.
Yeah.
Can
you
do something about my tickets?
No.
Well, you can't negotiate.
You can't have expired plates, man. That's number one.
Yeah, but can I tell you my argument real quick?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I got the ticket on a Friday, right? Because this month ended on a Friday. Okay. Then the DMV is not open until Monday, which is today. So I had the opportunity to get a ticket on Saturday and Sunday, which both happened.
I think currency exchanges sell those
stickers.
License plate stickers.
Mm-hmm.
First-time car owner, okay? Can I get some leniency?
Nope. I believe the congressman who you just asked to commit a federal crime, I think the congressman, I think is right. You just have to be responsible for that.
I would agree, though, on a Sunday seems a little wrong because you don't have time. I mean, I don't know.
There's football on.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a racket. It's a racket.
Yeah, it's a racket. Mm-hmm. Although I did get a ticket last week for overstaying my welcome in a flashing zone. Could you fix that for me, Adam? Could you?
That's usually just at your friend's house too.
Oh God!
I know. That's how I drive. I pull up onto the curb next to my house. I keep my flashers on. Overnight. Why would I want to actually go park in my garage? All right. Okay. A number of things that I would like to ask you about. I want to start on one thing here, actually, about start with the state of Illinois for a second? Because this is interesting.
Sure.
The state, through the treasurer's office, has just announced that they're going to freeze all of their activity, $30 billion in investment funds, with Wells Fargo, based on the congressional hearings that have been going on Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. with Mr. Stumpf, worst name ever, who has been up on Capitol Hill trying to explain what Wells Fargo has been up to. And apparently your colleagues have not particularly found his answer satisfactory.
Yeah, no, they haven't. And I think it's, you know, it's totally, I think, okay, smart for the state of Illinois to do this. Wells Fargo shows that it abused its power and its privilege, I guess, and we're going to continue to have hearings. I'm not on the committee, so I've not been into the depth of what they have. I've just seen some of the highlights on TV. But, I think that's fine to do, as long as, you know, we're not losing any money in the process, because I don't think the state of Illinois has much money to lose right now.
Good point.
Excellent point. California just did it, apparently, and so perhaps there are several other states that will follow suit at this point.
It's pretty brazen what Wells Fargo did, too.
Yes.
For people who are not familiar with it, they were opening up accounts. They were allowing people were opening up accounts within the company, mm-hmm. using information from existing account holders to create dummy accounts that would increase the on paper value of Wells Fargo and also increase the commissions being paid to those guys opening the accounts.
Right.
Which was crazy.
Yeah. And the employees were saying they were like Glengarry, Glenn Ross style, you know, pressure tactics to get it internally to get people to produce.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably not, you know, the equivalent of what we saw in 2007, 2008. But I mean, you know, you keep in mind if a company or a bank especially is showing different assets than what they actually have, that sets the bank up potentially for a 2007 type crash when people start coming and wanting assets out. And the federal government has seen, you know, the regulators have seen it's worth being one thing when it's worth is not one thing. And you could set up potential big problems. You don't screw around with banking because that's
we've learned that.
Yeah,
hopefully we've learned that.
Yeah.
Banks behaving badly can be very bad for all of us.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly right. All right.
You stay on top of them, Congressman, okay?
Yeah.
I will. I'm in.
All right. Now, the U.S. has announced that it is suspending its participation in bilateral channels with Russia as it comes to the situation in Syria and maybe even beyond, because of Putin suspending the nuclear pact that has that was agreed to with the United States government when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. What do we make of all of this?
It's bad. I mean, it's, you know, right when this ceasefire was signed, I said that this isn't going to last long, and I hated to be so pessimistic, but the truth is a ceasefire won't work, especially when you have a regime like Assad and, frankly, a regime like Putin, who all they're interested in is in power politics. It's not going to last if there's no or else. So basically, Secretary Kerry should have been able to go to these ceasefire negotiations and said, look, we want to negotiate a ceasefire and end the hostilities, or else, as an example, we're going to destroy Assad's air force, or we're going to create a no-fly zone, or we're going to take it to the next step. We're going to, you know, hit regime targets like we should have done in the red line in Syria. If you don't have an or else, if your or else is, you know, or else we're going to keep talking to you, or else we're going to strongly condemn you, or in this case, or else we're going to suspend bilateral talks, there is no motivation. Diplomacy can only work on the international stage when there is power set behind it. And in this case, there wasn't. So what you have now is during that time that where that ceasefire lasted, basically about 5 days, you had what we're obviously seeing now are regime elements, Iranian militia elements, and Russian elements surrounding the city of Aleppo. There's 10,000 of them now, ready to do the final assault on Aleppo. And if you think that boy sitting in the ambulance was sad, if you think the civilians that have been killed by the bombings with bunker-busting bombs of hospitals are sad, you wait till these ground forces assault Aleppo, and this is going to be like a very dark doomsday thing to watch on television. And we're sitting here with a president unwilling to do anything about it besides suspend talks. And it's sad and it's embarrassing, frankly, for us.
What could this administration do right now, if you were to give them advice? They're not asking for yours, but you're a United States congressman, so you have the right to advise and consent. So what would you tell them to do right now?
Well, I think two things. Number one, each day that goes by, the options get less. But I think what we do have left is to basically tell the Russians that there will be a no-fly zone over Aleppo in the least, and a greater amount over rebel-controlled areas that are friendly to Western interests. There's going to be humanitarian supplies that go in. And the Russians, with fair warning, will understand. And if they know we're serious, they will not challenge that no-fly zone because militarily, the United States military is far superior to theirs. But you have to do that with strong, like, serious backing to say this will happen. The other thing that I think needs to happen is we need to crater the runways that Syrian jets are operating out of. You can do that with a cruise missile to the middle of a runway so that these jets cannot take off or land. And then, you know, frankly, if they rebuild it, if they repair it, you drop another cruise missile to do it. But there has got to be an end to the air bombardment of Aleppo and of the rebels. And that's one way to begin to turn the table and motivate the Russians and the Syrians to actually come to the table and have a diplomatic solution. Until something like this is done, they're going to just continue to stall and make it look like they're, you know, trying to negotiate something, when in the fact they're just organizing 10,000 soldiers outside of Aleppo.
For those who do not know what to do with themselves with this election, and there's plenty of us, between as you move forward in terms of our relation, and it appears now that one of the primary foreign policy issues we're going to have moving forward is our relationship with Russia. Mm-hmm. As we move forward in that, what kind of leadership are we going to be looking for here? Because I think on both sides, you've got Hillary Clinton on one side who says she's been strong, but then has been involved in treaties that don't make a ton of sense. And they just walked away. The Russians just walked away from this. Basically, it's uranium enrichment, plutonium enrichment and plutonium usage agreement that now Putin is going to walk away from. And then you've got Trump, who seems too cozy with Clinton. I mean, is there a reasonable decision that the voters can make about which way that's going to go?
This is going to have to go through everybody's own personal filter, and because this is tough. I mean, you know, look, Hillary Clinton, she did this reset with Russia, which has led to a lot of, you know, Russia basically then taking advantage of that newfound, reset happiness and actually pushing into American areas and American influence. Now, obviously, there's a lot we don't know about Donald Trump with his relationship with Russia. You know, he had an opportunity to disavow Vladimir Putin in the last debate and didn't do it. But, that, you know, there's also a lot of things he had an opportunity to do that he didn't take. So I think the next debate, is going to be important, and the next two, frankly, to flush out what exactly are you going to do and what are your opinions of Vladimir Putin and Russia. And, you know, one of the other big problems I have is, regardless of if there's a WikiLeaks thing to still come on Hillary Clinton or anybody else, I don't like the fact that potentially Russians have been hacking into political leaders' information in order to embarrass them and influence an election. This is the kind of thing that you see happen in Eastern European satellite states, not in the United States of America. So we have to wholeheartedly, it's not going to happen this cycle, but in the future, we have to wholeheartedly reject any outside government's attempt to influence our election, because we're the United States of America. We're not some third world country.
I'd like just a show of hands here on the show. Mm-hmm. Do all of you people think that what the congressman just said is more important than Violetta's license sticker?
Yes.
Yes.
I think we all do.
I think we
all
agree.
I would say we'd
all
like to see more of that rhetoric as part of the actual election rather than what we're talking
about.
Well,
this all started when we couldn't send out notifications, budget problems. Right? I would have got a reminder in the mail.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Putting her case together.
Yes, exactly. You're right.
It's getting there. Yeah. It's getting there.
Yeah, it's really not going where we thought it was going to go, is it? All right. Well, I know it's anything else on that front there, Congressman, about the election?
No,
you got anything else to say?
We got 3 weeks to go, or 4 weeks or something like that. I guess 4 weeks now. This is the time when people are really paying attention. We thought they paid attention prior. They're really paying attention now. And I would just say to every listener out there, you know, love who you love, vote for who you want to vote for, or at least tolerate whoever you want to tolerate.
That's a better way.
Get important answers to questions. Get important answers, whether it's Russia, whether it's ISIS, Syria, things. These are powers a president has that nobody else does, and we need to know how he or she is going to handle it.
You know, it's really interesting. I read a white paper. I like that term, a white paper. Makes it
sounds
sound so important,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So official, yeah.
Yeah, a white paper over the weekend about what the presidential authority is in terms of trade. And basically, the president does not need the advice nor consent of Congress or anybody else to be able to enact a lot of the things he's threatening to do on the on trade. And Wall Street, one of the reasons that Wall Street is reacting the way that they are reacting with big swings right now, mm-hmm. is because they, you know, Wall Street does not want to see. Wall Street tends to be a free trade kind of deal. They would prefer right. to see free trade because it's predictable. They understand where it's going to go, and they can value whether it's a domestic or foreign company and what kind of impact they're going to have on the American economy and on other companies. And that's what all these algorithms are built for. And basically, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama currently would have carte blanche to stop, to tariff any country they want to tariff, and to stop trade at least temporarily with any country they want to stop. Like on a dime, they can do that. And this is one of those things people don't understand, don't know. That is scary. I mean, if he really believes this stuff, which I don't think he does, I think he's saying anything to get elected. But you know, we've thought that about other people. I mean, the immediate economic impact of a Trump presidency based on what his promises have been is a real possibility, and it would not be good for the American economy in the short term. So it worries me.
Well, when you vote for president, you have to take people at their word. And I've heard a lot of people say, whether it's Trump or Clinton, well, he or she says this, but here's what I think they really mean. You only have their word to judge them by. And on the trade issue, the vast majority of Americans, according to polls, still support free trade, despite both candidates being against it. You know what? If TPP, maybe there's points we need to negotiate better, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But if that fails and doesn't get passed eventually, all these countries are going to be turning to China for their free trade agreement with China, which means we have basically lost a huge amount of influence in Asia. And we think it's been bad in the Middle East and Russia with what's going on. Just wait till that happens.
Congressman, great talking to
you.
So
I absorb all that now.
So happy.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I think we should have just fixed.
Very good right
we should
now.
Just fixed Violetta's tickets and we'd be fine.
You guys can all come to the
That's
hearing
right.
with me.
Yeah, exactly. For the defense, Your Honor, I'd like to introduce Congressman Kinzinger from the Illinois 16th.
Yeah. Yep, he's with
That's
me.
Right.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Congressman.
Bye.
All right. I was going to ask you what Gary Johnson might think of all this, but I thought it was inappropriate because he was talking such super serious stuff about that particular area of the world, and so I waited, you know. I just thought, talk about it later.
Aleppo, po.
It didn't sound like it usually does po, in Gary Johnson's mind.
Po, Aleppo, po. Nah.
That's what I thought.
Traffic. I love the band Traffic. I think it was Steve Winwood's best word. Kirk, Kirk, Kirk. Kirk Cameron. He was on that TV show in the 70s. Oh, no, it was the 80s.